Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fix the World podcast. My name's Sam Avery and I'm here with...
Katie Tracy! Woo!
And together we're going to solve all the problems that the world has to offer.
Every single one.
It's going to take us a few episodes to complete the entire list, but we're working our way through two problems at a time. And this week we'll be tackling some more. So how have you been, Kate?
I've been great.
Good.
So been absolutely great.
Have you got any plans... Are you missing comedy, by the way, like stand-up?
I am missing it a lot. I've got some gigs coming up soon, which I'm really nervous about because it's been so long.
How long?
Since the last gig I had was March last year.
Wow, so that's over a year.
I had like a little online thing, but it wasn't for me.
They're not the same. I just stopped doing them.
It wasn't just... like a performance. It was more like just taking part. I was like a guest on a comedy podcast.
Right, yeah. Hate comedy podcasts.
Well, I enjoyed there was one right at the beginning which was all right, but it was with a comedian who didn't know, but she just asked me and it was all right. And then the next one was recently and it was with somebody who knew Adam Hughes and it was just a laugh.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like I can't wait to like get back into it.
Get on stage. I think I did some in September when stuff started to open up again, and then I was so nervous before going back on stage. I hadn't done comedy in like 6 months or something, and the speed at which I spoke was just unbelievable. I was just like, the audience couldn't understand what I was saying, but they were so happy to be out the house. They were laughing along and just buzzing off it, but it wasn't good. So I've got some gigs coming up in like a couple of weeks really, and I'm starting to look at them in my diary going, ooh, and like my first one back is like a tour show, so I'm trying to get a couple of gigs in before that so I can just like loosen up.
Yeah.
So.
Get ready.
See what happens. If you've got tickets for that show in Corby on the 12th of June, then just be gentle with me because I don't know what...
Be gentle with them, guys.
I don't know what condition. Corby, you know, a traditional...
seaside town.
Is it? I think it's in the Midlands, isn't it?
That's not a seaside town.
No.
Why is in my head Corby... I'm thinking of Tenby.
Oh, Tenby is, yeah. Yeah, it's about 300 miles away, I think. But if you're listening from Tenby, I've got no plans to come there soon. But Corby, I will be. But anyway, we're going to fix some stuff this week, aren't we? What are we going to fix this week?
Well, this week, the first subject is how would you fix wildlife documentaries? Not to say the bad as they are, but could they be better?
Do you watch many wildlife documentaries?
All of them.
All of them.
Every single one.
What's been your favourite so far?
I love the underwater ones.
Yeah.
But I've really grown to like I really love David Attenborough. I love him so much. Funny story about David Attenborough. My friend was on an American Airlines flight and she got upgraded to first class and she was with her boyfriend, and in the across the aisle from them, David Attenborough was on a seat.
Wow,
we were going to Miami. And she said, I looked at the films to watch and there was a choice of films. And one of them was King Kong and one of them was like a heist movie and one of them was something else. She said, I'm like, that's me fella. But he watches King Kong because he's David Attenborough.
Because there's a monkey in it.
And he did.
I wonder if he was narrating along.
Yeah.
And now you can see the oversized
like
monkey.
He'd never pull the thing out of a grenade and throw it like that.
Monkeys are always right-handed. Yeah, he'd never climb the Statue of Liberty. Like, I know, the Empire State Building that he climbs?
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, so I watch them and I love them. And obviously, I know the world's in danger and I know we've wrecked it. But can I just watch a wildlife documentary without being reminded that the oceans are full of plastic, please?
Oh, it's so depressing.
It's a downer.
And I agree with you. It's a problem and it needs sorting. But I'd rather just ignore it for a bit. Especially when I've had a long day and I just want to watch the telly.
Like, I care, I do. But when I've watched the journey of a mother and baby blue whale travel like thousands and thousands of miles and get to the same place in the sea, I can't even find my beach towel when I come out of the sea. But they can go from continent to continent to exactly the same breeding ground. And she feeds them, she goes hungry herself. It's a lovely heartwarming story. They face trials, tribulations, and at the end you're like, yeah, they made it. And then just at the end, he was like, so, right, these will probably only be around another 16 months or so because you're killing them with plastic. Here's how we film this. Here's what we were up against. And I'm like,
oh,
You're like that person the night after a night out who goes, oh, you were pissed last night. I don't need it. I don't need that negativity in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pissed. Yeah. It was a Saturday night. And yeah, my life isn't...
swam underwater to a different continent. So what?
Yeah. These things happen, don't they? But yeah, you want that happy ending, don't you? That high. Mm. Maybe there should be like a different version you can watch where it gives you all the reality stuff. There's a Netflix documentary out at the moment called Seaspiracy. And a lot of people have said, you've got to watch it. You've got to see it. You'll never eat fish again. And I'm like, I think I'd rather just avoid it because I do like fish.
I love fish and I'd be sad if I couldn't eat fish again, haven't watched that. But I've seen things that should put me off food because I'm just a greedy bitch. Nothing really puts me off food. So
my main annoyance with Seaspiracy was not that it's called Seaspiracy. It's why didn't they call it Conspiracy?
Exactly.
So already I'm on the back foot with that one.
Did you watch, what was it called, My Octopus Teacher?
No, but it won an Oscar, didn't it, for Best Documentary, is that right?
It's like The Mentalist.
Is it?
I started watching it thinking I'm not going to watch this all the way through. And this man was like, he's like a legit scientist and he's like lived in this beautiful house on the edge of like the ocean and he used to just go diving because he was like going through some mental health issues and he was like at a crossroads in his career. One day he went diving and he just saw this octopus. So he thought, I'm going to come back and film that. So if ever I lose a ring while I'm out swimming in the sea, I'm going to phone him. Because if he can find the same octopus in the ocean every day for 12 months while he films it, he could go into business finding lost jewellery.
I couldn't find my own car last week that I parked an hour before. And he can find an octopus. That man is not normal. Here's a question for you. When David Attenborough, and the inevitable will happen when he passes on to the next, the great big documentary in the sky, who's going to take over the mantle of the voiceover? Because he is like synonymous with that. Who are the candidates?
Well, he's not just the voiceover. He's like a naturalist and activist. So it'd have to be someone else who does that. I'm hoping it's not that the poor man, Steve Irwin. It was always like canoeing in an iceberg or something. I don't know. Steve Bachley. I hope it's not him.
Oh, he's got to be on the short list or the long list at least.
I don't know. Who would it be?
I'd that get the
doctor,
guy.
Dr. Liz, what's her name? The Irish lady. She's good.
You need someone with a nice voice, don't you? Mm. I mean, I'd get the guy from The X Factor. You know, does the intros.
In Rwanda!
There's only four of these left because of plastic.
Yeah.
I mean, at least
a lion stalks a deer. The lion's like that. Shut up, lad.
Yeah. You've scared them off, you knobhead. But then you want someone with a calm voice. I mean, Des Lynam used to be good, but I don't know if he's still alive, is he? Des Lynam.
Commentating on the footballs, but very much like commentating on wild animals.
On reality.
I don't like on wildlife documentaries where, like, the camera crew don't get involved when they know, like, a little baby deer is going to get, like, eaten to death.
It'd be hard to ignore,
wouldn't
it?
And it's just sat there, someone sat there filming going, oh, I'm going to keep filming, this is going to win me a bath to this. Never mind the inevitable slaughter.
But then people argue that's nature because, I mean, personally, I'm kind of with you. I would love to watch a nature documentary where you've got, like, a wildebeest, you know, being stalked by a tiger. And as the tiger makes its, you know, he's stalked it for days and as he finally makes it approach, some fella with a boom mic jumps out of the bushes and starts swatting him over the head. I mean, I would watch that and I would watch that again.
Yeah. I would like to see like the high jeopardy stakes of wildlife documentaries where they bring humans into the equation. Let's have the ultimate who's the strongest. Let's have a tiger, a wildebeest, and a 35-year-old man pit them against each other. Get someone to film all of that.
I mean, I think the tiger would probably win, but depends if the man's been drinking like White Lightning. I mean, I don't think you could decide. Yeah.
And if it was a woman who'd had a couple of bottles of Blossom Hill, then just forget about it. She's won it. She's won the fight.
She's already got her shoes off.
Another thing is when they give the animals names to humanise them to you, but they'll be filming in, like, Sierra Leone and a little meerkat. Don't correct me on, like, me geography of animals and where they live, okay? But a little meerkat will run out and they'll go, Maureen's just given birth to pups. And you're like... Well, the name isn't Maureen, is it?
You don't get many Maureens in Sierra Leone, do you?
At least if you're going to give her a name, give her a name that's like common from where she comes from. Don't call her Maureen like she's from Birkenhead. Maureen. It's just stupid.
What they could do is they could take meerkats and put them into somewhere like Birkenhead and see how they get on. And just let them run free.
I would say that. Put them on every Wetherspoons.
I think within a couple of days, a few of them will be hooked on some sort of gear. And the rest would be like, I don't know.
Three bottles of Beck's would have five in there. There was two orcas found in the Thames or something.
What's an orca?
Like they knew the little black and white whales.
Oh yeah.
So they obviously got lost, and the media called them Captain Cow and Aquarius.
Oh Jesus Christ! Sound like an 80s synth duo. And down four at number 82, it's
what even happened to Captain Cow and Aquarius?
Well, he split up, didn't he? And then one of them, he went out with Simon Cowell for a bit. And after that, no one heard from him. And then he was found face down in the Thames. Did they survive, those whales?
They probably didn't. I think once they get to the Thames, it's game over, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the Thames is where, like...
Whales go to die.
Whales go to die. We had this theory, me and my friend the other day, that there's so many much plastic in the oceans that they probably just got like a little acrylic nail stuck to their eyeball. Oh. And they thought they were going in one direction and just like ended up in, you know,
that's
Isle of Dogs.
That's bleak, that, isn't it?
Yeah. Like some that. I can't see it. It's the plastic.
I'd love to see a whale with fake eyelashes, though, to be fair. And I know that's probably not very environmentally sound, but.
No.
We like to humanise them, though, you're right. We like to humanise animals because we can't quite connect unless we think they're a bit like us. Which
we humanise our pets.
All the time, yeah. Mm. Oh, look at him, he's shaking hands, little doggy.
Look at him, he's shitting on the table.
Oh, just like his dad. Yeah, I think there's so many being made, hasn't there, with Attenborough. I think like that transition to someone else is going to be huge, isn't it? It's going to be massive. It's going to be like when Bake Off moved to Channel 4, but like bigger.
Yeah. Imagine there's people sitting in their house just going, I'm going to get the call once, and soon I'm going to get the call.
I bet someone has been lined up, haven't they? Or been told like unofficially, listen, it's yours.
Yeah.
This gig's yours.
Maybe it's him off him. We call it Tit Watch in our house, but it's Spring Watch. Chris Packham.
He's pretty good, Chris Packham.
And he is an environmentalist as well, so...
He's not got the voice for it, though. He's got a bit of a lisp,
hasn't he? Like David Beckham.
Yeah, that's not the voice you want.
That's not the voice you want.
You want something a little bit more, you know, it's got to be calm.
A bit sexy.
Baritone. It is a bit sexy, isn't it? Yeah.
It's got to be a bit sexy when you're telling young children that a baby lizard's about to be eaten by a snake. It just takes the edge off.
Takes the edge off if you're slightly aroused, doesn't it, when you're watching murder.
They are basically televising murder.
They are. It's horrible when you watch it with your kids as well, and they're like, is he going to die? And because you've been watching Disney films and Pixar films, you're like, well, just wait and see. And normally the answer is no.
Mm.
But the answer is often yes, and it's brutal, because nature is brutal.
When my son was little, they opened the big Sainsbury's by ours, and we went in, and it was like, everyone was like, wow, because... It was just a big, big superstore. That was what it was like in those days. And
oh my God.
And so we went in and there was this big, massive butcher's section. And there was like these plastic, you know, like curtains that they have in the butchers.
Yeah.
And we were there and he stood very inquisitive and he goes, what's behind them curtains there, Mum? I went, so that's where they kill all the animals.
And how old was he?
Six, maybe younger.
Vegetarian ever since. how come you can't hear them screaming, Mummy? They muffle them.
No, they electrocute them first.
Those curtains are really thick, son. If you don't eat your vegetables, I'm going to put you behind those curtains.
Yeah. No, I think the way to fix wildlife documentary, up the ante.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, do you think, so we watched wildlife documentaries and the films all over the world, you never hear the words, in Lancashire, a sheep is on the M62. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, in Liverpool, a dog has got into a school and all hell is breaking loose. Because that is the best day.
Where are the documentaries about the non-sexy animals?
Like a ferret.
Yeah.
A ferret is stuck in a man's arse. Wait for this bit when he tries to explain to the paramedics how it got there.
Well, I was cleaning out the cage with me pants off,
and it just went up there.
You know the way there's also another thing that made me curious about wildlife documentaries is, so when you go, you see it, and there's like packs of wild horses in the middle of America. Are the packs of wild horses in the UK that nobody owns, that just roam around and just like...
I don't think anymore. I think maybe there was, but I think they've all been... Because most... We haven't really got this, like land that no one owns.
Country's mentality is just to own everything, isn't
well,
it?
Well, it is. It's very, like, sort of... Like, the monarchs and all that. Like
they can't even have packs of wild dogs because the RSPCA takes them and puts them on Paul O'Grady's show.
Round them up.
This is your big chance.
Yeah, I'm going to make you a big star. Crufts, never heard of it. Paul O'Grady's where it's at. But even like birds, I suppose birds are the only animals in this country that are still free.
And but then boring, the aren't swans. They're all brown.
And swans are owned by the Queen, aren't they? Is it swans?
Why does she own them?
I don't know. Why would she want to own them? She doesn't pay tax. Now she wants the swans. What's next? Take the pigeons, Mom. No one wants the pigeons.
We have got the shittest birds, though, haven't we?
Yeah. You know when you go to a nice restaurant and you see wood pigeon? Like, me and you live in the city and pigeons are not something you want to be eating.
No.
Wood pigeons are different. Seagulls, city pigeons.
I've seen a seagull eat old KFC off the floor, vomit it back up, and then eat it again.
Yeah, but that's how everyone eats KFC. And then he asked for one of those wipes.
Yeah, but
it's wing licking good.
He opened a little tiny lemon wipe afterwards.
That was bloody audible. I'm going to eat that again. Oh, I bet he hated himself at the end of it, especially if he'd vomited halfway through. Put that on your advert, Colonel Sanders. Talking of seagulls, here's what I'd like to see David Attenborough narrate. Is that a seagull? Apparently was going into the Greggs in Liverpool 1. I don't know if I mentioned this the other week, but Greggs in Liverpool 1, seagulls were going in, taking the crisps and flying off. So they've rearranged the shop because the crisps were too close to the door. I'd love to see that on David Attenborough.
I'd like to see a seagull open a packet of Walker's crisps or other crisps with its little claws. Like, does it like lie on its back with its claws? And I don't know.
Oh, I've got the wrong end.
I mean, they have quite sharp beaks, but...
They probably just peck the frig out of it until it just bursts, yeah. Which I'm not saying that's the wrong option.
Oh, imagine picking up prawn cocktail now and you're like, oh, shit.
Oh, I've got to do that again.
I have to go back.
And as you see, the seagull is disappointed with his choice of flavour and he must venture back inside the north.
Gary Lineker needs to be careful when he goes out. His face is on every bag. Seagulls are going to associate him with food.
Just flocks at him. Just making a V-line for him. Yeah, that'll make a great advert, actually. Someone should write that down. So, yeah, wildlife documentaries, they're massive, aren't they? I don't really watch that many myself, but maybe I would if they took on board some of our suggestions.
Yeah,
maybe
I love them. Just stop bringing me down all the time about the state of the planet.
Yeah, we know
I live on it.
We know it's ruined. Look at it. Look at the state of it.
People are more happy endings.
People are listening to stuff like this. More happy endings. That's what we want.
Yeah.
If any massage parlour owners are listening. What's our next subject this week?
Shopping.
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 Are you a shopper?
I used to be more of a shopper.
Shops have been shut for 12 months, haven't they?
I hate going into a shop and someone walks up to me immediately and goes, are you looking for anything special?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking for a silent shopping experience.
I'm looking for something I don't feel fat in, okay? Back off.
What's your mirror like? Is the lighting shit?
Yeah. One question. Are the changing rooms communal? I'm out of this door if they are.
Yeah, they're weird, though, aren't they, when you get people? Because I instantly think I'm in the wrong changing room and I'm going to get labelled as some kind of weird perv. But it's all like, hey, man. We're all the same. We're all God's creatures.
Yeah, okay, Urban Outfitters, if that's what you think.
Yeah. But I'm trying on undies here.
With your hemp jumpers. Do one.
Yeah, I don't like shopping for clothes. It is my new policy and I've introduced in the last probably 3 years. If I have 1% doubt about the new item, I just don't buy it. Because the amount of clothes I've bought, and I thought, well, I'll lose weight and I'll fit into that. Or I'll look better in this when I can buy that other pair of jeans or whatever. I just don't bother. I need to feel 100% confident, which means I don't buy anything. Because no clothes make you feel like that.
Some do.
the odd item. But I'd definitely buy less now.
Did you ever have lucky undies?
I didn't have lucky undies. I used to have lucky socks. Yeah.
Did the socks feel lucky?
The socks did not feel lucky. I'm not going to tell you where I used to wear them either. Did you have lucky undies?
No. Girls don't really, do not.
Girls don't need lucky undies, do they?
No.
Girls are the lucky undies.
We are the lucky undies.
Sounds like the start of some kind of We Are the Lucky Undies kids TV show.
No, I don't know. I don't really enjoy shopping like I used to be honest with you. But I hate shopping online. One thing I've started to do is develop a bit of a conscience about shopping. So I'll buy some, if I see something, I'll only buy it if I know I will definitely wear it like more than 5 times.
Yeah.
And also I worry about like, you know, when you go, and everyone does it, goes to Primark and you just go in and just buy a load of like bits and go get it home and you think, I didn't need any of this and it's just landfill ultimately.
It is landfill.
And it makes me feel bad.
And David Attenborough's going to be commentating on those cheap UGG slippers you've just bought for £4.
That a dolphin just choked on when you threw them out.
Which would make cracking television. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'd love to see a seahorse try and dodge some Primark undies and then get caught in the gusset and just slowly watch his life. Sorry, I'm had a long day.
I had to go into Sports Direct the other day.
Oh, that place is horrible. You feel like you're in a maze.
It's got the maddest selection of clothes. So it's got like trainees, football boots, trackies, gym stuff. But then it's got like a little section of going out stuff, some Hawaiian shirts. It has old-fashioned aftershaves and perfumes.
What about the big mug?
The big huge mugs. But anyway, I was in there. We're going to a party in a few weeks and the theme is Hawaiian. And I went in there. I think I went in for something specific. And then I saw this. I was immediately drawn to this Hawaiian shirt, which is like a tennis. So I thought, so I'll buy that for the party. So I got it. And then it was like, so you know the Sports Direct, it's got really high ceilings.
Oh, it's claustrophobic.
So that the shirt that I wanted was like at reachable height. So I got that. But then I looked up and there's about 10 stories high. And I'm thinking, how do you get like the top from like the very top rail? Excuse, can you bring like the scaffolding over, please?
You have to buy the trampette and you have to take a run up and jump.
I wish that was true.
Oh, that would be an amazing way to get your shopping done.
But shops like Sports Direct give me the fear.
I took my kids in Sports Direct and lost one of them and then lost the other one. And they started running around having the best time. 6-year-old twins. And they were just, it was like I was in a maze. It was like a theme park. They loved it. But
it's just big stacks of shoe boxes everywhere.
Yeah. It's not good for your mental health, I don't think, that shop. But I don't like shopping online because I like to try stuff on before I buy it. I don't like to just get it home and then...
I know what I do when I buy online. I'll bring it, I'll get it, and I'll try it on. I'll be like, I didn't really like that. And then I'm so lazy that I don't end up sending it back.
You just keep it?
And I just keep it, even though I know I'm not going to wear it. Or I'll end up giving it to a friend or just taking it to a charity shop. And I think, oh, I'm not buying online anymore. But yeah. I still do.
It's just so easy, isn't it, when you've had a couple of glasses of wine and you pop on, like... Yeah. A shop.
PVC gimp suit. I need one of them.
Do you know what? I didn't know I needed one of them, but for some reason they're in my search history. And here we are. I've now got 6 of them. Might as well get a 7th one for each day.
Yeah. Friends might come round. You just don't know.
You can't have someone without a gimp mask. It's just rude, isn't it?
Little game of Jeopardy Twister.
What about other shopping? Like, so, like, buying a car or buying, like, something that's a bit more of a, like, a holiday.
I will love buying holidays. I love paying for holidays. I love going on holiday. That's like a nice thing to do.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. Buying a car is a bally.
I remember buying a car once, like buying a brand new car once. I've only done it once. And I was sat there and I'd maybe minded before I went in, but it was just really interesting to watch the salesman try and put all the extra convincers on me for all these things. And even the music they were playing was music to convince you that you were doing the right thing, even though you're buying a car, because it was like this big expense.
Was it like The Chain by Fleetwood Mac on in the background?
Do you know what? That would have been a great shout. It was stuff like, it's my prerogative, I can do what I want to do. And it's almost like, hey, fuck you, family. You can't eat for the next 3 weeks. I'm buying a car.
You were like that. Yeah, I will have those rear airbags because I've just listened to My Prerogative by Bobby. You know, I don't care.
Put me down for extra wing mirrors. Yeah, but it was all the tricks and, you know, all the ways, like the way the guy was talking to you, even though I was totally aware of it, it's fascinating to watch the level of bullshit that these salesmen have to like put in place just to convince
You've
you.
You've got to be a specific kind of person to do that and be good at it. And I really take my hat off to them. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Because you've got to be on like seven hours a day, haven't you? The whole time you're there.
I couldn't be any kind of persuasive seller.
I'm not persuasive at all. I you know, if I say to someone, do you want this? And they say no, I go, all right.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't be a police officer. Because someone would go, oh, and I'd go, oh, go on, just don't do it again. Go on. Go on, run away now.
Go on, just... Will you promise never to murder people again?
How would you change shopping? What would you do? What would you... Sizing. Hate sizing.
Well, the sizing's different in every single shop, isn't it? And as a man, that's annoying. But as a woman, it must be even more annoying. In fact, I asked you a couple of weeks ago why there's always a massive queue outside Zara. And you said because the sizing is quite good.
It's designed by people on Ket. The pricing and the sizing in Zara,
So is it not good?
No, it's nice styles.
Yeah.
It's hit and miss, but no, it's a popular shop for a reason. The clothes that they sell are probably the closest to when you watch like fashion shows.
Yeah.
One season, you know that the follow what that season's out in Zara, it will be like the nearest sort of replica that they can get that's appropriate to wear on the streets. But the sizing and pricing, like you'll pick up a top thinking that's probably about £15 and you look at the label and it's £75, and then you'll pick up a pair of trousers that you think they're £75 and it'll be like special price £9.99, and you're just like, I feel like I'm on LSD here because I just don't know what's going on. But if you're ever wondering, if you ever want a taste of what Zara's like, just go on the website and look at the poses that the models do.
Oh God, I will.
So they'll pose in like a full suit or a lovely dress, but they'll like get themselves into a little tiny ball and like stand on the end of a diving board, which is what you do when you're looking for a nice dress to go the races in. What? How will that look with me? Crawled it could like into a little tiny ball. I need to see that
by the end of the night after the races. To be fair, that's what a lot of the women look like trying to get a taxi.
When I buy stuff, what dress is the most easiest to wash vomit out of?
How will these shoes look in me hand as I'm standing in dog shit with me bare feet that have also been cut with broken glass? How will that look, Mr. Zara? Yeah. That's very sexist to say Mr. Zara when Zara's a
there
female
should be
name.
Section for are you bloated or on in the shops for bloated outfits, non-bloated outfits? They're the two. Can say you're this size, that size, the other. Some days you're bloated, some days you're not. That should be the sections.
Yeah. That would be more realistic, wouldn't it? And more helpful. It would
be more helpful.
Well, that's a proper fix.
I think that.
The bloated section.
The bloated section. You wouldn't see, you'd be like, I'm not going in the bloated section. I'll go online for the bloated stuff.
You could have that in theatres as well. Give me a cheer in the bloated section. Fuck off.
Can't.
Fuck off, I'm premenstrual, you knobhead. I hate you. I'm only here because me fella's here and he's over there in the non-bloated section. Yeah, you just play to the non-bloated section probably, wouldn't you? But have we fixed stuff this week, do you think?
I think we fixed wildlife documentaries.
I think we have. I think we need to make one. Maybe we need to crowdfund one. And I like the idea of the meerkats in Birkenhead. I think I'd like to revisit that.
Yeah, I think I might make one about, you know, the house flies that fly at right angles into your house.
Oh, those angle-loving bastards.
Hey, David Attenborough, how can a bumblebee get into a little tiny window and then not find its way out of a patio door?
Yeah.
That's what tell me about that.
And now, after thousands of years of flies not at least understood, you need to fuck off right now in human language, because that's all I say to flies and they look at me like I'm soft. Like they're the ones who can't get the way out of a massive open window. So thanks for watching, folks.
Thanks for watching. Hope we've been helpful to you.
You've been helpful to us.
You have.
And you can be helpful to us if you want to give us a positive review on iTunes or follow us on YouTube or
we'd
subscribe.
We'd absolutely love that.
On many of the social media channels.
And we're going to start a GoFundMe for our wildlife show.
Oh yeah, that's happening. And we're going to abscond with the money and set up a chain of...
We're going to set up a fly sanctuary.
Which is what my car is like sometimes anyway. But yeah, thanks for listening. See you next week, Kate.
See you next week, Sam.
Bye,
everyone.